when it's good, just say so. Let's say so on this edition of Key Life.
You're listening to Key Life, a program that isn't designed for nice Christians doing nice things for God and helping you to be nicer. This is Bible teaching for real living. Here's Steve.
Thanks, Mike. If you've been with us this week, we've been talking about the means of grace. We've suggested that the Bible doesn't, and maybe we'll spend a little bit of time on that later on, but the Bible doesn't give us many reasons why or explain the problem of suffering and pain. I don't know why 9/11 happened. I mean, I know there were some very evil people who did some very evil things, and justice needs to be. I know that, but I don't know. I don't understand why that was allowed to happen. Someday I will. But the Bible doesn't speak much about that. The Bible talks about what you do when your robe breaks, how to tie a knot. And this week and last week has been Knot Tying 101. And we've been talking about means of grace. We've talked about honest prayer, telling God the truth when you pray. Don't do it spirit. We talked about honest fellowship, being real with each other, other Christians. Talked about Bible study, where you read the Bible not as a religious book, but as a book that's life-saving and very earthy. We talked about just getting up and doing what needs doing. And then we talked about honest relinquishment, accepting what God gives you. And we used Job as our example. And then yesterday I mentioned, I want to talk a little bit more about today. And then tomorrow I want to begin talking about another subject. I want to talk about bitterness. I know, but we've got to talk about it, because one of the bad things that pain and suffering will do to the Christian can make us bitter. You ever seen somebody that looks like there's something the cat drug in, woe be gone, and then they're very critical of everybody, and nothing's going to work, and nothing's going to come out, and then pretty soon the anger begins to come out, and the meanness. That often happens because, well, I'll tell you tomorrow when we start talking about it. But I want to finish with these means of grace. Honest victory, celebrating when you get things right. We looked yesterday at Romans 7:24 through 25, and then we looked at Philippians 3:17, where Paul says, "Follow me as I follow Christ. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern." Was that pride? No, it's honesty. One of the problems with honesty about your failure and sin is that that can become addictive. You can think that the only real honesty is honesty about failure. If you're honest about your failure, be just as honest about your success. If you were honest about your pain, just be as honest about your healing. Somebody says, "I've got the scars." It's been really hard, and I've got the scars. Let me tell you something. Scars are evidence of healing. Didn't have the scars, you wouldn't have healed. Brag about the scars because of the healing. A lot of Christians are not walking properly before the Lord because they've used the excuse that they aren't like some pastor or religious leader. Well, I'm no Mother Teresa. He's a saint, or she's a saint, they say. If I were a saint, I would be more obedient. Pastors shouldn't be put on those kind of pedestals. They ought to be considered just as human as anybody else. I want to be honest with you about the places where I fall apart, because I want you to be encouraged and inspired about the places where I'm getting things together. I want you to do the same thing for me. I went through a period in my Bible teaching when I was so upset at the idea of people accepting Christianity without a cross that all I did was warn believers that we weren't home yet, and they couldn't expect to receive God's promises about heaven now. I mean, I got really upset with the people that said if you had enough faith, you wouldn't have to go through this, et cetera, et cetera. One of the elders in a church where I was the pastor teacher came to me and said, "Steve, you have taught us that even truth, when taught to the exclusion of other truth, can become a lie. If someone had heard you teach over the past few weeks, they would think that you don't believe God answers prayer, that people are never healed, that Christians can never live victorious and joyful lives." You know, I thought about what he said. You know what I started doing the next week? I started teaching the congregation as Paul said, that all the promises of God find their yes in him. Because we're talking about broken ropes and pain and suffering in this series, we need to talk about the realities of failure and sin and tragedy and relinquishment. However, I don't want you to think that's the whole story. God still answers prayer. His arm is not shortened that he can't save. When Jesus told Peter that Peter was going to deny him, Jesus didn't stop there. He said a very compassionate and beautiful thing to Peter. Jesus said, and this is Luke 22:31-32. He said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. He says the same thing to you as you're dealing with your broken rope. When things get better, don't waste a bit of what you're going through. Take what you learn from your pain and your suffering. Help those who are still in the thick of it. That might even be the reason it hurts so much. You think about that. Amen. Well, it's my practice on Wednesday's broadcast to catch up on some of these questions. My pastor, Pete, will be in on Friday. But I love to get questions from you guys. And I try to be as honest with the answers as I can, and so does Pete. And the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. But you do have to write them down. Send your question to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address if you want a response. And you always get a response from me or a staff member on the broadcast or the magazine. And don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions. You can make a contribution. You can get the booklet we're offering free, get the magazine free. Become a part of Key Life Tapes free, whatever, but you need to write your question out. Hey, listen, a reminder, Key Life is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, ECFA. That's a widely recognized Christian financial organization created to assure ethical monetary practices by its members. We've got a website, too, www.keylife.org. You ought to check it out. You can listen to today's broadcast and previous 30, which are archived there. There's a devotional minute. And there's a lot of good material to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. All right, let's get to some of these questions. This is from Arkansas. What can I do to have assurance of my salvation? Well, one of the ways is to remember the point where he found you and recount that and build a memorial. Say, on certain date, even if I didn't understand it, I did all I could, and he said if I did all I could, I would be his. Another way to have assurance of salvation is to persevere. I mean, as you look at your life, you'll see yourself getting a little bit better. Now, you're not going to become Mother Teresa or Billy Graham tomorrow, but you're better than you were. Where did you get that? Well, that's from him. And as you persevere, you will see the assurance that comes with your salvation. But let me tell you a better way than both of those. Let me ask you a question. Why did you ask that question? If you weren't saved, you never would have asked the question. So where did you get the question? It came from the Holy Spirit. And so the issue is this. If you want to do what God wants you to do, even if you don't do it, that's evidence that the Holy Spirit is inside you and that you belong to Him. Assurance of salvation sometimes takes a while. I have a friend who for years went through major downtime with great tears, worrying about whether or not she was saved. And she was. She was. And then she learned to rest on Him and to trust Him. Sometimes that's a process. But He holds you. You don't hold Him, so you can go through the process. This is from Pennsylvania. What happens at the judgment? Should I, as a Christian, be afraid? No. Haven't you been listening to what I've been saying? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you say, yeah, but when I check in, he may read off my sins. Well, maybe. 1 Corinthians 3 is sort of a Protestant purgatory where They're going to burn up all the bad stuff, and then the real thing, the foundation laid in Christ, is going to remain. But you shouldn't be afraid of that. Listen to me. Trust an old guy. I've been listening to people confess their sins to me for many, many years. And you're not going to be embarrassed because you're going to know the truth. And it's going to be a time of great praise and glorification of God. We're going to stand around the throne, and God's going to say, you know, you really blew it here, and I forgave you. And we're going to say, praise God. And then he's going to say, and this is the place where you did it right. And I was really pleased. And I gave you the grace to do that. And we're going to say, cool, praise God, glorify him, because that's what heaven is about. No, you won't be embarrassed. If you were going to be embarrassed, it wouldn't be heaven. And I don't know exactly how it's going to work, but and nobody knows for sure. But no, don't sit around worrying about that. I just can't imagine all these people that just think they're so bad and so horrible, and they meet Mother Teresa, and you find out her sins, and you're going to be so surprised. No, I don't know what they are, but I know she's in need of redemption. She's in heaven now, but she was in need of redemption just like we are. Do Christians have guardian angels? That's an email. Yes, but don't make such a big deal out of it. The book of Hebrews suggests that, yes, we probably do have guardian angels. And I'm glad for the TV program, and I like all the books on angels and all that kind of stuff, because it makes us think in some good ways. But I think you can get neurotic about that. It can get weird if you're not careful. I think it's something you ought to be aware of. It ought to give you comfort, but you shouldn't focus on it too much. You know why? Because the word angel in the original means messenger. The angel doesn't point to the angel. The angel points to God. And so usually you will see God rather than the angel. So yeah, you got guardian angels. Isn't that good? That ought to make you feel good. But now let's talk about something else. Because if you focus too much on that, you can get outside the parameters of biblical Christianity. Hey, I got to go. Whenever you write a call, would you give us the call letters of this great station where you presently hear Key Life? And then one other thing before I go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.